Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Now, delighted to speak to our GP, Dr. Pat Harold. Pat, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran. Good to hear some good news about the university.
Oh, fantastic news, isn't it?
Isn't it great? Yeah.
Great opportunities for young people out there. It's great.
Absolutely.
I know you want to talk to us a little bit about headaches and the like, but what about the latest on the rollout of the vaccine, Pat? Any news for us there?
I don't know. I mean, I believe it's going well. I see they're doing about 200,000 a week now, which is... they're moving down. I think the over 50s are registering. The GPs are looking to be finished about the 4th of July. And the ones we're doing, we're finishing off the over 50s with their second dose. And the ones we're doing are the category 4, which are people who are overweight, diabetic, and not very well. It's a bit like the single yellow line, double yellow line, you know. No parking at all. The ones who are sick and the ones who are pretty sick. And the ones, they're the second group, and they're the ones with underlying conditions. And that's the only ones the GPs can give out, and the ones and they're all under 60.
In those cases, you will make contact with them, Pat. Isn't that how it works?
We arrange it.
Yes.
Now, I mean, the phones are kind of... I mean, it's amazing people still at this stage don't start to get it. We don't have the Astra. We don't have the Johnson & Johnson. We don't have the handy ones. We have the ones that are the mRNA vaccines, and they arrive in the fridge and precision, you know, making up their sub-zero temperatures, and have to be made up there and then. Now, there's talk of getting the Johnson & Johnson into pharmacies and things like that, and the Astra. As far as I know, that's what we'll be doing. I heard somebody in the news there calling just to vaccinate everybody in the country. Would be great. I think there's problems with supply, and I think there's problems with logistics always, you know. But I think it's cracking along fairly well. You know, the end is in sight, and if that's clear to people. But we have very strict rules of what we should and should not be given out, and I don't think any GPs are breaking that.
Right, interesting. I get to register today anyway, so I'm looking forward
And I just have to say it again, like, much as you'd love to say, come on down, we can't do it. You know, it's all very accountable. And the whole thing is, it's all in the interest of fairness. You know, you have to be extremely fair about this.
The only thing that worries me is the people who might fall through the cracks, because we heard from one person yesterday, I think they were about 64, 65, with underlying conditions, didn't get it through registration and waiting to hear from the doc. Somebody like that, they need to make inquiries, Pat.
Well, no, if they're 64, 65, they won't be getting it from their GP.
Even if they have underlying conditions?
No. We don't have them available for people 60 to 69. Right. We just don't have them. Now, at the start, it was a little bit blurry. It did change overnight. You know, there was a couple of people in, and we did it, and we could give them the second dose. But right now, at 60 to 69, we're not doing it at all. Even if they have conditions, we don't have them available for that age group.
Okay, it's great to have that clarity now, Pat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so they need to register.
They need to register online
and
if they're not very good at it, get somebody who can do it, you know. And that is going along fairly well. There's still a few people out there who haven't registered. They could be encouraged to do it. Mm. And I really wouldn't be worrying about, you know, one being safe from the other. And the other thing about it is that once you've got your first shot, you know, you're kind of, it's great. It brings down the R number all over the place. Mm. And the numbers are decreasing. It's a kind of a two-horse race, really, between the variants and it all getting out of hand again. Like we saw after Christmas, it got out of hand really quickly. The second wave killed more than the first wave. And the vaccination's hitting. But it seems to be going fairly well.
All right. The College of Psychiatrists of Ireland yesterday, Pat, they put out a warning there in terms of some sort of a new public health awareness campaign. The cannabis that people might remember from 20 or 30 years ago is not the same animal that's out there now, and they're saying that people need to take great care.
Yeah, I saw that, and I saw that about 20% of people think that cannabis is completely harmless, which absolutely isn't. Now, in my working life, I remember when I was first off, and my first hospital job was in psychiatry, It wasn't really an entity. And then, you know, funny enough, after the Gulf War, the stuff that used to come into Ireland, which was changed, and it all went to this kind of weed. And the weed was done, it's very strange. There are these kind of strange mutant female plants that are really high in THC, which is the active ingredient. But because they've missed, it's basically their factory farming. You know, it's not like the stuff that was free range and organic. And because of that, it's very, very psychoactive and can reduce all kinds of psychosis. I mean, I couldn't believe, first of all, you heard about people wanting to jump out windows and things from smoking marijuana.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It did happen, and paranoia, and it's particularly bad for kids because they have a developing brain and they're not able for alcohol and they're not able for marijuana. But, you know, I heard the College of Psychiatrists on, and it kind of reminded me a bit of, you know, tenements in Ireland in the 30s, you know, they were saying, oh, the people are drinking and the people are, you know, and nobody sort of said, why are they drinking? You know, I mean, they were drinking because they were overcrowded and poverty and no way out.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of, since they say they'll be a big wash and psychiatry won't be able to handle it. But I'd like to hear them say that psychiatry can't handle what they've got at the moment. They're completely under-resourced. And there's the child and adolescent psychiatry people. And it's, I don't know when I last got a kid into that. You'd want to be extremely, extremely bad. The boundaries are very difficult and they're completely under-resourced. And often you get a teacher or somebody saying you want to send them to CAMHS and you're looking them in the eye and saying, they won't get in. And I know they won't get in. And if I sent somebody to CAMHS and said they're smoking marijuana, I would get a nice letter back saying, you know. So, I mean, it's the causes of it. I mean, it's 10 years now since Love Hate was on television, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're living in a sort of crowded inner city environment, which you can have an inner city environment in any town in Tipperary, you know, if some kid is looking at people and they see the nice runners and everything and they're dealing a bit of dope and this kind of stuff, you know, and there's no other way out and no education opportunities and nothing to do. And I don't think they teach in schools. You know, why are kids taking it at all? That's the thing. You know, I mean, there's really, I'm going to end a bit of a rant here, Fran, but, you know.
It's a very interesting rant.
We teach PE, but do we teach them how to sit in a room quietly by themselves? Do we teach them how to exercise without necessarily joining a sports club? You know, do we teach them how to live, basically? And I see trouble kids every day of the week. And, you know, the marijuana might be a short fix, but it does, in some kids, affect them badly. And if anybody out there is listening, it was a big thing actually in college, in my thing. Nobody actually went smoking anything like that after rag week because they knew it absolutely messes up your exams completely. You know, the short term memory is gone and everything like that. So it just doesn't
deal with the core issues, is what you're saying, Pat, I suppose.
Absolutely deal with the core issues and unemployment for people. And you know, there's plenty of employment for graduates in the country, but and will be when things get back to normal. But just job opportunities and see why people have the need to smoke it, and not to mention the tablet epidemic, you know, because that's huge as well. But I really feel sorry. The people caught up in the middle of this are the people with MS and the kids with epilepsy and people who are actually dying of cancer and things because marijuana is wonderful for them. And they have to go to all these things, get special licenses and travel into Holland and places like that. And they can't get it. And it's because, and then you've all these guards running around the place and kids are getting a record, you know, because they have a little bit and they can't go abroad. And because they can't go abroad, they're stuck at home. And people, and the gangsters are making huge money out of this. The prison system is choked up. The court system is choked up. You know, we're not dealing with it. And to say we should just don't legalize it is grand, but don't legalize it, fair enough. Now, they legalized it in Colorado, and straight away the factory farmers moved in. And the stuff they were growing was completely low quality and awful stuff, very low grade and very bad for you. And then you see people like Willie Nelson and Neil Young and everything, and they say it's great for you. But the equivalent they're having is it's like they're drinking bottles of champagne, like £100 each.
So it's not even comparable?
Not even comparable, because if you're prohibition, it's like poaching, basically. If there was no, if you're somewhere like Saudi Arabia, you know, all the expats are making booze in the bathtub and, you know, and like, it's like very bad poaching is going at the moment. And it's very dangerous, marijuana, and it screws people up. But just, it's a big debate and it needs looking at from every angle.
Right.
And, I don't know. I think they should really beef up the psychiatric service a heck of a lot more, put a lot more into it, and see sort of the causes of people wanting to smoke it and having to smoke it. And if they do legalize it, make sure that it's sort of open air organic and don't happen what happens in Colorado and have the real rubbish bin. While Minister Simon Harris was on, I'm not usually as well briefed as that. He usually catches me in the hop.
Well, fair play to you. We're delighted to hear that take on that, Pat, because it's not spoken of. And when it is, people get all emotive about it. And, you know, well done. Fair play to you. One of our listeners saying, I had a blood clot in my lung before, and I'm worried about the AstraZeneca vaccine. Is there a risk? Now, if I got that question once in the last 2 weeks, I must have got it 40 times. People are concerned, aren't they?
Yeah, they're absolutely concerned. And I wouldn't speak about any particular case, but in general, if you have a prior clot, it's not a contraindication to the AstraZeneca, because it's a very, very rare thing. You see, in with AstraZeneca, I think it's something like one or two in a million. And it's maybe, but you see, if you smoke, your chances of a cough go up hugely, you know. And if you get COVID, 15-40% of people will do it, you know. So the chances of it are, you know, if you're a betting person, you'd go for the vaccine.
All right, Pat. Well, listen, we thought we'd talk about headaches, but it was much more interesting what we did talk about, and maybe we could go back to headaches next week.
We can talk about headaches anytime. There'll
always be a headache. Thanks very much indeed, Pat. Thank you. Good morning to you. That's our Dr. Pat Harold there, speaking to us from Nina this morning.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.